Well, we certainly welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and we left you with a cliffhanger the last time. Lynette Yousey was sharing her story of God's conviction and bringing her to Christ and working in her life. And remember, we were telling you the story about having to give up her daughter, whom she was not able to care for because she was a single mom at the age of 17. And her daughter, Veronica Murray, is in the studio with us. And what a trophy of grace both of you are. But Lynette, pick up there where your brother has come to witness to you, and he is so discouraged as he drives away. And what was the last thing he said?
Well, he actually seen me off to go to Florida, and he's waving, he and my other brother who was a believer, and he's saying, she'll never get saved. And I gave him good reason for that. He tried to minister to me for several years, and yet I look now, and God uses that in my life as I see others, because I was really a miserable person. Even though I tried to appear that everything was okay and I was happy, I was miserable inside because God was working in my heart, and I was realizing that I needed to have that personal relationship with Him. I really feared death because I was beginning to understand that if I don't believe, in John 3, it talks about he is condemned who doesn't believe. And I really became fearful of that. But as I moved to Florida, the Lord just immediately was working. The reasons I moved there weren't working out. And I began to look for a church. And within about 6 months, I finally one morning found a church that I thought I believe was a Bible preaching church. I didn't really know what a good church was.
Right.
And I went there and I thought, this is a good church. And that afternoon, it was a really low point in my life. I had a boyfriend and we had broke up and we were supposed to meet and that wasn't coming together and everything. And I was in my apartment and it was just time.
Right.
It was time for me to make a decision. And I got on my knees and I just prayed and received Christ as my Savior. And then I knew that immediately I needed to get out of the situation I was in. I went back to that church that night a little late arriving. And they were singing already, and I found a lady sitting alone and felt comfortable to sit there. And as they were singing, I turned to her and I said, I just became a Christian. And she's like, what did you say? And I said, I just became a Christian. And it was really spiritual CPR that immediately took place. That church took me under their wing.
Wow.
I met with a girl for 8 months. And in the midst of all that, looking back at what I had done with Veronica and that whole situation, I began to know how to pray for them, how to pray for her, how to pray for her father, and realizing that that is the greatest thing that I could do.
Exactly.
Since I was unable to do anything else at that point.
No contact at all with her, and not knowing if you would ever hear anything from her. And God, Lynette, brought you to the point of brokenness.
Yes, He did.
Back when I was a teenager, there was a popular song entitled, See the Funny Little Clown. Don't you know he's crying? Don't you know he's dying on the inside? But he's laughing on the outside. And so many people are like that, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And I see that a lot. And just remember that I was there, too.
Yes.
And that when you don't have the Lord in your life, there's a void. There's an emptiness until that relationship is right with them. And that's found through Jesus Christ.
And so when you said to the lady there in the pew, I just became a Christian, if she had just said, oh, that was nice, and turned away, wow, your life may have been quite different.
That's right. I didn't realize I needed discipleship.
No,
and it
I
was
mean, a
there
new believer doesn't.
Yes. I was encouraged to do the evangelism explosion at that young age and learned how to share Christ and was in a very good church. I actually moved on to a little bit bigger church to be with some more young adults, and they encouraged me that way, which was really incredible for a church to encourage you to find one that's more fitting for you. And so I did, but then I eventually moved back to Nebraska. But I had a prayer sheet, and I remember, I think it was on Thursday, I prayed for my daughter and just really thought that I didn't know what kind of home she was in,
right.
But I also thought about that God saved me,
right?
And God can save anyone out of anything that He wants. And so I prayed for her, and I prayed for her father, too,
yes,
to come to believe in Christ as His Savior. And that was in 1983 when I got saved.
Now, did you name Veronica?
No, I did not name her.
Okay. So, Veronica, You've probably figured this out. How old were you when your mom got saved?
I was 6.
You were 6?
Yes. And I still lived in Nebraska at that time, so she had moved away. But up until that point, we had lived even in the same state.
Yeah.
So I was 6, and growing up, we went to church, but I honestly can't say that I ever heard a gospel message looking back now that I know what that actually is.
Right.
But I lived on a farm kind of in the middle of nowhere, so my friends weren't nearby. I had an aunt in Arizona who was my dad's sister, my adoptive dad.
Sure, yeah.
And she was always a very, I'm going to say, religious lady.
Yeah.
She was the aunt that always gave you educational gifts or things that you didn't really want on your birthday as a kid, you know, books or things like that.
Socks.
I wanted toys, of course.
Sure.
But I loved music. I still do. But as a child, I loved music. I would sit in my room alone on the farm all day and listen to music. So this aunt in Arizona, she began to send me tapes. And some of them had Bible stories. They were all spiritual in nature. Just Bible stories read or acted out on tape. We didn't own a VCR. I think we just had a black and white TV.
Yeah. So
this was all just audio.
Right, right.
And then there was a series of tapes that had a very clear gospel message. It was almost like a play. You know, there were different things happening and different songs. It was like a musical on tape.
Yeah.
But it was very gospel-centered. So I would listen to those over and over and over again just because I loved the music and I didn't have really anything else to do.
Right, right.
So after you hear it that many times, it starts to penetrate, even though it's not coming from a live, actual person.
Right.
And my parents, they didn't know what was on the tapes. They didn't listen to them. They didn't care that I was listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a year later, I think it was around the time I was 7.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a year after my mom got saved.
Mm-hmm.
One of the tapes talked about accepting Jesus as your Savior. And I had never heard about that at church. My parents had never talked to me about that.
Okay.
But I had heard this same theme over and over again on these tapes.
Right.
So I couldn't imagine why I wouldn't want to do that. Because, I mean, I came to love Jesus, what I knew of him.
Right.
I was learning about him at church in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that was reinforced even more on these tapes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just remember I had a playroom. I just kind of sat down at the desk because it told you what to do on the tape, how to, you know, accept Jesus as your Savior. And I wanted to wholeheartedly. So I did what it said. I bowed my head and prayed and asked him to come into my life and save me. And I didn't know what that meant, though. I meant it with my heart, but I didn't know. I had no guidance or instruction as to what to do from that point.
So the very thing that happened to you, Lynette, the moment you got saved, there was someone there to disciple you. The moment you got saved, there was nobody.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we find it incredible that within a year after I got saved, she became a believer.
God's answering your prayer, isn't
he? He is, and I didn't know. I kept praying, but it just is, to me, neat to know that we started down the spiritual journey, really, not together, but together spiritually.
Right, right. So saved at the age of 7... You're still going to church once a week, that kind of
a
thing.
It's actually very sad because I wasn't discipled. You know, I didn't know how to go forward from there. I didn't even know that I needed to, which, you know, is strange
because
to say.
Because the tape didn't tell you.
Right. The tape ended at that point.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know. I never told anyone.
Did you tell the aunt?
I didn't.
No.
And I honestly don't know that I can say my aunt's a Christian, which is very ironic,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yes.
Religion is more the dominant theme of the way that I grew up rather than a relationship. So I think that's probably more the direction that she was headed at that time. I told her later in my life, and she wasn't very receptive to how she had impacted me, but I still felt the need to thank her because once I realized what had happened that day, which was many years later, that was tremendous. So I just continued to grow up in the same way that I would have otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I think with a small exception, I feel as I grew up, I had a sense of this isn't right and a sense of something is missing.
Okay.
And I don't know how other kids who grew up alongside me, if they felt the same thing, because I feel anyone without Christ in a relationship with him has something missing.
Sure.
But I feel looking back as I grew up, my parents were very moral, so I'm thankful for that. I had a moral upbringing, not a spiritual one.
Right.
So that was helpful. And then when I was 15, my parents split up. And things kind of went downhill for our family. My mom kind of checked out.
Okay.
I think she was just really struggling with the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was 6 years younger, so I kind of had to care for him. And I was unsupervised a lot.
Oh, I see.
So I got myself into some trouble, too. I just kind of did what I wanted and what the other kids were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I look back, though, I feel I was very protected.
Mm.
Some of my decisions were not good ones, and somehow God so shielded me, I think.
Right, right.
And helped me at least to have the moral part of it.
Because at the same time, mom's still praying. She has no clue what she's praying for, but she's still praying.
And at that time, 6 years later, I met my husband, Dan, and, and I immediately told him about it. It was still pretty fresh in my life with less than 10 years and always tender to my heart. And so I told him, and as we decided to get married, we told his family.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell close friends about it, you know, but as the years went on, I probably told less and less people, but there was people that knew about it. And if it was the right setting, I would tell people about that situation.
Right.
I was involved on a panel at the University of Nebraska. As far as being a woman who had given up a baby, there was also a woman there who had an abortion and another woman there. I can't remember what she was there for, but I believe that the lady who had the abortion was supposed to be a positive thing. But as we sat on that panel, that was not at all a positive thing. And I met her outside later and she was actually a believer and just had such regrets. And again, I thanked God that I didn't have to go through that part of the situation like I was in. And so my husband knew, my in-laws knew about it.
Right.
We married and we then started our family and we ended up having 4 children. And as they began to grow, we were planning on telling them about it, just waiting for the right timing to tell them. And we had a missions conference at our church. We were in a very good church, and we told our children after that night.
Okay, okay. Well, time has run out, so let's pick that up the next time. But, you know, Veronica, what I've heard you say, how important it is to provide CDs of music and stories and things like that to children because they'll listen to them.
Right.
And God will use his word when nothing else is available. And it could be that you have someone that you've been praying for and you're listening to us this morning. Be encouraged. Put resources in their hands that will share the gospel with them and bathe them in prayer because God's word never returns to him without accomplishing the purpose that he has in mind. We're so glad you joined us today. Pick us up in a couple of days because we will continue the story.